Found this in Ganner room. Ganner near me.
What is it?
Well, it's
Sycophants.
Welcome to Synthaholics, guys. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me is...
Self-procreating Aaron O'Brien!
And...
Faith Hertzberg.
After I self-procreate and make another one of me, I had to kill my parent. It's like it's a thing we do.
Oh, so you're
So every day, every day you meet. By the time you meet me, because I'm like a baby when I'm first born, like in the middle, like in the morning, and then like by the time you see me later on, I've grown to a full adult, and then it all starts all over again.
So basically, you reenact the Prestige every day.
Yeah, that's basically my life.
The Prestige.
Yes.
Make a copy of yourself and you kill it.
I can't believe I remember everything. It's amazing.
Is it, though?
Yeah.
So, little bit of news today. Today, as of the day of recording.
Mm-hmm.
Renegades has successfully met its minimum goal.
Met and exceeded.
Oh, yes, but when they met their minimum goal, they announced that Nichelle Nichols is going to come back and play Admiral Uhura in Episode 2 of Renegades. And this has spiked them to almost 50,000 above their goal since earlier today.
And again, I'm still confused with the age differences. I know we're in the future here, but it's still throwing me off quite a bit.
Come on! I mean, like I said, I mean, Bones was still alive at the beginning of Next Generation.
I know.
And he's older than both of them. By like 15, 20 years. It's not the biggest stretch.
Yeah, but he drank a lot.
Does that say that prolongs your life?
I think it pickles. Preservative. I think it pickles you.
We don't know.
It did.
We don't know a lot about what Chekhov and Nichelle did. And Uhura did off screen.
You know what they did.
Well, you know, Scotty was kind of getting it on with Uhura a little bit.
Was he? Oh, yeah, Star Trek 5. Yeah,
yep.
that was a strange...
She brought him potato chips, and he looked at her longingly.
Thank you, Lassie.
So...
That's how I feel when people bring me potato chips.
The silvery bag potato chips that made so much noise. I'm really worried about Renegades episode 2 because I felt like at the end of the first Renegades, you killed off part of your cast. You had a nice, solid main crew.
You pared it down.
You got Ragnar. You got Icheb. You got Hologram Fixer. You got Hologram Robert Picardo calling in whenever he feels like it. And you got, you've got Alexa, and then you've got the.
You got the whole gang.
I mean, that's a bunch of people. There's a couple other people I haven't mentioned yet. That's like a good crew. Like, that's a good cast. You got Chekhov and Tuvok, you know, off doing their Starfleet headquarter thing. And now you've got Nichelle Nichols. You've got Robert Beltran. You've got Cirroc Lofton. You've got Aaron Eisenberg. You've got whatever her face who played Molly. Like, I mean, we've got all these, like where are they going to fit? I want to...
Well, that's the thing is, like, I felt that it was, like, the original, with the first Renegades, that they were fighting for screen time for almost every character, because they had to introduce the character, they had to, like, kind of show you what they're about, but then, you know, they're showing a lot of Walter Koenig and, to be in there, because obviously he's a big star, but then still, it's like his part didn't need to be as big as the main characters, you know? And granted, the main characters got more probably screen time, but it was pretty 50-50, I felt.
Yeah, and then you've got all these other bigger stars than most of the main cast coming back to reprise the role. Also Jadzia is going to be coming back. And I mean, like, they've got enough plot holes they've got to fill in from the first episode. Now, I just feel like they're pouring in, like, more plot holes instead of like trying to fix the ones that are already there.
Right. And I just
unnecessary insurance.
I'm glad they got funded. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing what they're going to do with the next Renegades. I'm just really scared that they're not gonna have a chance to fill in other plot holes because they have to, you know, just do another hour of exposition on why is Chakotay here, why is Nog here, why is Molly here, why is Jake here, why is Jadzia here, or they may not even fill in these holes. They're just gonna make these.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and I just think it just kind of muddles the whole story, and it becomes a little convoluted. I don't begrudge Nichelle Nichols being part of it, but it just, I think it's like another, you know.
I feel like it's just a cash grab. They're just like, oh, this person's going to be in it, so you want to see them in Star Trek again, right? So you're going to give us money, and then it's like, well, you're taking away from what the story was intended to be
about
this Renegade crew instead of all these other Starfleet or ex-Starfleet people.
Yeah, I know.
Weird.
I'm worried. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what comes of it, but I'm kind of worried.
It's just one more thing to give a chance and see what happens.
Yeah, I know. I guess maybe Nichelle Nichols would give us another fan dance.
Oh yeah,
I love that fan dance.
I could deal with that.
That's the only thing that really
justifies
Star Trek V for me.
I like the campfire scenes. They're nice.
Nah, the fan dance does it for me.
Well, you know, the fan dance is icing on top of that nice cake, but. And other crowdfunding news, Captain Pike is only a couple hours away as of this recording from their second Kickstarter for their special effects. They're almost at half.
Almost halfway. They're 22 or so.
Yeah, like 23,000 as of the recording of this, and their goal was 50,000. So I think with Indiegogo, they do get to keep what they did raise, so
yeah.
I mean, hopefully they'll still be able to, you know, get it put out.
Maybe it'll just be limited special effects.
Limited effects.
I wonder how that will turn out.
Do storyboards in place of the special effects. That'll be fine. As long as it's a good story, I don't care.
Cardboard cutouts of the ships. yeah, that stinks. Maybe they'll do something else. Who knows? You know, I mean, they've had little kicks that, you know, bring them up a little bit, but I don't know if they can make that much, the 20,000 and 20,000 some change.
Yeah, and I've been you know, still trying to keep in touch with Todd Chante. We've been trying to have him on. It's just like scheduling has not been working out. So hopefully, maybe we can get him on in the nearest future and find out, you know, what the next step is.
Cool. Well, let's wish him the best.
Yes, all the best to Renegades and to Captain Pike.
So we are talking about little furry, cute little animals today. They're so adorable.
Bushy.
They purr.
Yes, they do.
Apparently made from under a dollar. We're talking about the original series. We're talking about the original series, Trouble with Tribbles. This is one of the classic Star Treks that's out there. I mean, you can't get much better than this one, as in memorable.
Extremely iconic. I remember seeing this in the movie theater. Like, there was some special showing. It was supposed to be like extra scenes or something. I don't remember. When I was a kid, and my dad took us to go see it, and we saw it in the movie theater. I mean, we watched it on TV all the time growing up. But
yeah.
But it was just kind of cool. I got to see this in a movie theater, which was kind of weird.
Right. I remember somehow I had some like summer program where I went to the janitor's closet.
And, the co-janitor's closet, no!
And he kept on showing his triple that was in his pants. I don't know what that was about.
Was it a meaty triple?
Sort of like a regular bloodworm. No, it was like a
veiny, huh?
It was actually a summer program where we went to the library and they actually showed it like a film, like a reel-to-reel film. I mean, I was a big fan of Star Trek anyways. I was probably like maybe like 7, 8. I loved it anyways, but I thought it was even cooler that I was getting to see it in the library and it like on a like projected on a
oh yeah
like a library screen. I thought that was awesome.
That is cool because you usually go shh,
shut up, you little brats. We're gonna watch some Star Trek.
That's cool getting to watch something in the library. I don't remember ever getting to watch anything in the library. It's always like, be quiet.
Yeah. They told us to shut up.
While you watch your Star Trek.
Any memories for you, Faith, for this episode? I mean, I think I think every kid sees this and like is automatically just loves it because it's like kind of got the fuzzy animals, cute kind of thing, you know.
This was one of my favorite episodes watching with my mom. Actually, it resulted in that Christmas me having like three or four tribbles stuffed in my stocking.
Oh wow!
So like it was one of those things we got to share quite a bit when we went to Vegas. That was one of the first things she bought me. She's like, "Do you remember, you know, watching this episode together?" I was like itty bitty at the time. I was like, "Yeah."
How cute!
But yeah, that was one of our favorite episodes. That was one of the ones I definitely remember watching with my mom. Makes it special.
Oh, so cool! Yeah, so there's an actual emotional story behind there as well. So that's great. I think everybody has this, you know, anybody who sees this, you know, especially as a young child, it's one of those things they don't ever forget.
And it's also a Klingon episode, which also makes it memorable because Klingons only showed up in like a handful of episodes in the original series, like four.
Right.
And they're the most iconic bad guy in Star Trek as far as like a race.
Sure. Yeah. 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 And you get, Koloth who shows up. And who is actually played by the same actor who just a couple episodes before is
Trelane. The Squire of Guthus.
The only reason you don't recognize him is he's got a little goatee. It's like Superman in his glasses. I didn't know you're Clark Kent and Superman are the same people.
Where'd you go?
Where'd you go?
Where'd you go? Where's Commissioner Gordon? Show me where you... Oh, there. There was a guy here who was dressed up like you, but he didn't look like you.
Koloth played by William Campbell. And in case you didn't know what Dave's talking about, there is a... I don't know. Is that Funny or Die? Is that who made that?
No, it's College Humor. Batman. It's a joke they use all the time. Whenever someone takes off their glasses, he's like, "Whoa, where'd you go, Commissioner Gordon?"
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Who are you?
Yeah. Anyways, so Trouble with Tribbles came out season 2, 1967. It's going back.
Oh wow.
That's going
a couple of years before the swinging 70s.
December 29th. So that's when it was.
We're within the month.
Right. This was written by David Gerrold, which it was one of his. He was brought on. He was like a fan of the series, and this was like his first writing gig. And he was in. This was one of the scripts that were accepted. It went through a lot of changes.
Everything did in the original series. Gene Roddenberry was like eviscerated so much stuff.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, that's for sure. But the basic idea went through, you know, what he had and the tribbles. I think it was called like something fuzzy something. I don't exactly remember the original title, but it was like fuzzy something was the original title. But then they changed it to Trouble Tribbles. But so. Great episode. Basically starts off as the Enterprise is flying through space, and they have Kirk, Spock, and Chekhov having a little meeting in the ready room, or meeting room.
Chekhov's very bad at history.
Yes, Chekhov is very bad at history.
The Russians did this, the Russians did that. No, that's not how it happened.
Yeah, he definitely has a lot of Russian pride. But they're kind of giving a synopsis of what's going on with the area, and they kind of bring on talk to a previous show. They talk about the Organians peace treaty, which calls back to Erin of Mercy, where they meet the Klingons and they have a war between Kirk and Spock and the Klingons. And
it's a two-man war. And then the Organians with their energy powers freeze every ship and threaten them to blow up if they don't stop fighting.
While they're talking about it, because apparently the Klingons are in the area and there's a lot of tensions, that they get a Code 1 alert from the Deep Space Station K-7, and they fly, you know, as fast as they can to K-7. Basically, it's like it's disastrous, like, things are
huge horrible thing. And then they get there and Kirk's like, what's the problem?
PlayStation looks fine. what's wrong? I don't understand.
Like, I'm worried about my grain.
I'm worried about my grain.
I'm a farmer.
So
don't take my grain.
I've been... Yeah, so we have, what's his, Niels Barris is a, he's a Federation official. He has the duty of this project for Sherman's planet.
And Quadro Triple Kaylee is the only kind of grain that'll grow on this
planet. It's a high yield grain.
But I think this is the only one that'll actually grow, too.
Oh, is that what they said? I don't remember that part. But I don't disagree. It's just one of those things where it's supposed to help develop the planet, and they're trying to basically develop this planet and bring it into the Federation as instead of the Klingons bringing it on their side. So this is part of the Organian Treaty. If they can develop a planet and they can... basically sway them to whoever's side, they get the planet.
Yeah, so some political maneuvering, and Kirk's like, you abused the Priority One channel for wheat.
Right, for wheat. Barris has his aide, which is Mr. Darvin, Arn Darvin. And he, they feel that there could be sabotage to the wheat or to their mission to Sherman's planet on K7.
Sabotage. What does it mean, man?
And so Kirk is pretty pissed off at them for bringing them us, and he really dismisses Barris. And he basically says, "I'll put two guards on the wheat
on the grain."
And and then he just kind of walks out. I think he makes some comments. Says, "I've never questioned the authority or the intelligence of Starfleet Command." And then he turns around and goes, "Until now." So,
I love how Kirk is written so snarky in this episode.
He is so snarky, and it's just probably one of the best offbeat little jokes they throw in between. More than, I mean, you get a little bit in TOS here and there, but this is probably the most, like, everything. Like,
so much disdain Kirk has for this guy is fantastic.
I know, he really dislikes him. I was wondering if he was thinking about his past run-in with commissioners.
The guy with the itty-bitty cape on his back.
Yeah, the commissioner from Galloway 7, and the, what's her name, from... she goes down to the planet with Zefram Cochran.
That one.
Yeah.
Those two.
They're both insufferable.
And then she becomes somewhat mellow when she gets taken over by the companion.
Sure.
Oh, was it?
Because she was dead. Anyways, Kirk issues...
That fixes a lot of things.
Yeah. It kind of wipes the slate clean.
It's like, new personality.
Kirk issues a... shore leave on K7 while they're there, and there we get Uhura and Chekov and coming down to the space station, and where they meet Cyrano Jones, and he is trying to sell some things to the bartender.
I wish he was in more episodes. I wish they managed to get him, because he reminds me of Harry Mudd, and I love Harry Mudd.
He is like he's a pale comparison to Harry Mudd, but he has that. He does have.
He's got that jovial, like, oh, yeah, troublemaking nature that, yeah, I love, and
yeah,
I love his many, many pocketed outfit.
Yeah,
I could
Velcro comes apart, and there's like pockets inside his coat that he can like have quick access to.
I want that outfit.
That is a cool coat.
That's good for going to the movie theater and sticking in snacks.
It's like I got Snickers in my top pocket. I got M&Ms in my right pocket.
I can fit like 16, 20 ounces in this thing, too.
I got some Twizzlers over here.
Good thing they don't put scales in the way in the movie theater. It's like, wow, that person's way heavier than they look. He's got tons of pop.
It's heavy bone density.
I know. That's right.
It's the antimantium.
Yeah. I'm Wolverine. You got a problem with that, bub?
I'm a cyborg. I'm heavier than I look.
Cyrano Jones gives Uhura one of the tribbles as a.
But he was trying to sell it to the bartender,
and the bartender did agree to buy it. But that was like the show model.
Yeah, the show model, and I love how like Cyrano Jones is trying to sell it for 10, and the guy's like, no, 2, and he's like, you know, 5, and he's like 6, mm-hmm, and then he finally agrees on 6, and then Uhura shows interest in it, and he's like, well, I'm going to do 10% markup, and then I'll give it to you for 10 credits. I'm like, no. 10% of 6 is only 60 cents. So it's,
maybe there's a tax on there.
That's a huge tax to get it up to 10 from 6.
It's not easy doing business in Federation space.
And K-9 on the border of K-7, sorry, on the border of a Klingon
right.
space, too.
So, so Cyrano Jones says this is a free sample and gives it to Uhura. And unfortunately, Uhura takes this cute little fuzzy purring puffball back to the Enterprise, where it procreates. Yes. In the meantime, they're...
Funny, she doesn't ask what to feed it.
No.
Although Chekhov does notice it's eating his grain.
It's eating my quadriceted kale.
That's the Russians invented. They also invented nuclear vessels.
They did. Back on the Enterprise, Kirk gets a message from Admiral Fitzpatrick saying that he is required to protect the grain and do basically whatever Barriss asked him to do. And this is like, oh, Kirk is like... It is eating crow right now. He hates it. You know,
rolls his eyes. He's wearing his nice wraparound shirt.
Oh yeah. It's I'm watching in high def too, and it's like I can literally see the fabric. It's so funny. It's like a weird blanket material. It is
so fuzzy.
Yeah, it's a little fuzzy.
It's like weird. Like the symbols, like where it wraps around, like on his front, because it's like a it's like a short toga.
Yeah, yeah. I always wondered why they came up with that. I never really heard the backstory. I'll have to look that up someday.
I don't know.
Maybe just to nice designate him.
V-neck.
Designate him from the other crew members.
I guess, but it's like green.
Hide a smaller budget.
Yeah, but then I would think it'd be easier just to keep the yellow shirt.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe they ripped them all every time you get in a fight.
They're waiting to get a new one.
We're out of uniforms for you. Just put on this green tunic. But that's my bathrobe.
That's how I show my chest on the ladies. Without ripping my shirt.
Yes. Oh, my.
So they can rip his shirt.
What was that?
It's so they can rip his shirt.
Yeah, I know. Kirk loved taking off his shirt. Anyways, just when they get that message from the Admiral, they get another call, and it looks like there is a Klingon battle cruiser that is right outside of K-7, 100 kilometers, which is like nothing.
Were their sensors just turned off?
Well, they must have cloaked in. They must have cloaked in. I assume they cloaked in.
Did the Klingon ships have cloaking devices in the original series?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they did.
I don't think so.
I think they did.
I don't think so.
I think they did.
Uh-oh.
We're going to settle this right here, right now. But anyways, yeah.
I don't think Klingon's officially cloaked to Star Trek 3, although Enterprise did have cloaking Klingons, but I think that's also retconned because they did cloak in Star Trek 3.
But anyways, so Koloth is there. And
he's there, already in the office with the guy.
Right, exactly.
And I guess we'll stand down red alert then.
Right. So they're already there. They beam down. And basically they want to have a shore leave on K-7.
And so Enterprise also has shore leave, and they beam down every officer for every Klingon that's down there.
Right, exactly.
Got to have equal numbers.
Yeah, yeah. So not only do they have guards... around the grain, the two officers. they also have guards guarding the Klingons. So
who don't ever rotate shifts? They must be so tired. It's like, can we rotate shifts?
I just want a shore leave.
Actually, I'll be interested to see what Red Shirt Diaries does with this episode because I haven't seen. I don't think they've gotten this far yet.
Right. Right. Yeah, it says here a cloaking device was spread the Klingon Empire. It says the first Klingon was to be equipped was the Koloth for Commander Kor in the Battle of Caleb V. Device was soon brought aboard many other Klingon vessels.
So this is after the original series? After original series, but before Star Trek III.
They cite the animated series Time Trap. But what is it? Let me find out.
That sounds like one of the things that Kor was talking about in the episode where he goes crazy when they go with Martok and Worf in Deep Space Nine.
Right.
He mentions that battle against Kirk or something like that. And,
yeah.
But I don't think that's in the show. I think that's just something that happened in between.
I really recall that. But anyways. So they're... The Klingons are now taking shore leave, and there's basically only 12 Klingons at a time. And in the meantime, the Tribbles are
everywhere,
are proliferating, and they're
Kirk is almost sitting on them, and he goes to Bones and suggests that Bones open a maternity ward.
And Kirk, they even eat his chicken sandwich and coffee when he.
That's a little bit later though, but.
It's in the same time. They're just all over the place, and he can't get away from it. So
he forces Scotty to go on shore leave and to prevent any altercations that might happen between the Klingons, because he trusts Scotty above everyone else.
Well, Scotty's like his like third in command officer, isn't he? No, maybe fourth in command over Bones, right?
It's Kirk, Spock, Bones, Scotty.
Yeah, that's right. So he's fourth in command. So, yeah, I mean... Should be trustworthy.
But he's also a heavy drinking Scott.
Yeah.
And he starts... Scots are definitely known for their temper.
Yeah, and they...
As we learned last week, you being a Scottish descent.
Yes.
Not that you have a temper, but I'm just saying that...
Oh, I have a temper. Don't get me drinking. Don't get me started.
Oh, I can't wait till we actually have our first drunk episode of Synthaholics. Faith, get up here. We got to have our first drunk episode.
Everything will be destroyed. Anyways, they're down there, and the Klingons are insulting Kirk, calling him a tin-plated dictator, swaggering dictator.
With delusions of godhood.
With delusions of godhood.
And it's like, that doesn't sound wrong.
And Chekhov's ready to, like, start a fight.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure he does have delusions of godhood, especially after he got raised from the dead and starting in the darkness.
Oh, absolutely. No. Yeah, that's he had Kirk right.
I mean, I don't think that's
wrong. That's why Scotty was like, it's close.
He called him like a kind of slime devil or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
Regillian slime devil, which actually shows up again. The Regillian, he shows up again in Next Generation. That's written by David Gerrold. He wrote another one for Star Trek, and he used the same creature.
Oh, did you see it?
Did he see it?
Did you see it?
You don't actually see it, but they were killed by him.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. I see. I don't remember what episode that was.
Anyways.
Sorry.
Man. They basically insult the Enterprise to the point that it's call it a garbage scowl.
No, and then he's like, no, I take that back. It shouldn't be a garbage scowl. It should be hauled as garbage.
Right. And this is where Scotty just loses like, it.
Oh, he didn't.
Finally loses it.
Yeah.
Scotty throws the first punch, and they get into a wonderful brawl in the bar area. He also calls, before this breaks out, he also calls Chekhov's drink sugar water. And he's like, you should drink something.
Yeah, that's Scotch.
Some real drink. I would definitely agree with Scotty.
I don't really enjoy vodka as much. I do like Scotch better, but vodka, I have to have something with it.
It's got
to
be a mixed drink. Like, vodka by itself is like... Ugh.
It's like drinking rubbing alcohol.
Yeah.
But Russians love it.
Well, only because there's like a million different kinds of it. Yeah.
I'm just saying they just love it. And the fight scene goes on quite a long time.
And Cyrano Jones is stealing drinks
the whole time.
And he pockets one, and he tries to drink, and he avoids not spilling it.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, the bartender comes right in and steals his drink. But because I want this outfit so much with the giant pockets, he's got one in his pockets, and he's like, yes, I can enjoy my drink still.
Oh, yeah. And he downs one. Yeah, no, it's a great scene, and they're basically, I mean, it seems like it's a long fight scene.
I mean, for the 60s, it's well choreographed.
Yeah, I mean, they're all flying around. They're all like
falling and flipping over tables,
going
and chairs
over the bar. The one guy rolls right over the bar and stuff like that. I mean, it's kind of funny, but
and then just Cyrano Jones gets through, and like the whole, I feel like the whole scene was just focused around him, and they had to like bounce around him as crazy as they possibly could.
Right. Yeah.
It was well choreographed for a 60s. fight.
Absolutely. No, I mean, but it's fun to see, too, because we don't really see too many bar brawls in Star Trek, in the original series. Actually, up until maybe the 2009 reboot.
Yeah.
Where Kirk gets his ass kicked. I don't think we see too many. Well, we saw in Tapestry, Picard gets stabbed through the heart. I guess that's a bar brawl. There was a bit of a fight there in the bar.
Well, yeah, it was over a bar game, though.
Yeah,
Damjat, human.
You play Damjat, but I mean, we don't get to see too many bar brawls. So this was pretty fun, just for what it is. And then there, after the fight's broken up, they're all brought into back to the Enterprise, and Kirk wants to know who started the fight. Nobody's going to tell. And then he asks, he confines them all to quarters, and then asks Scotty, and that's when Scotty. This is a great scene, I think, where he tells him how he called him a tin-plated dictator with delusions of godhood.
And that's when you punched him, and he's like, "No, sir, no, sir."
And Kirk's disappointed,
and he's like, "Oh, so when did you punch him? He called the ship garbage."
It's a matter of pride.
It's a matter of pride. And it's like, and he's like, "You can find your quarters." "Yes, sir. Thank you, sir." And he's so excited. He's so excited to be confined to his quarters so he can read his tech manuals.
It's funny too because he didn't want to go on shore leave.
And Kirk's like, "What are you doing? Don't you want to relax?" He's like, "I am relaxing."
Yeah, I know. He likes reading those technical manuals. Actually, I think this is like a great episode because we get to see a little more side of Scotty, because instead of just the guy fixing the engines, you know,
he's like, he's just a nerd, which is awesome.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the only other one I remember seeing more about him is Wolf in the Fold, where he gets blame for the murder.
And then it's like the spirit of Jack the Ripper.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But
I don't know what happened. Oh, that would be a good Halloween episode.
Yeah, it would be. But yeah, so
maybe next year, guys.
Next.
Yes.
Bones figures out that the Tribbles
are born pregnant,
and they just, as soon as they eat a little bit of food, they're able to like make more Tribbles, and they have litters of like 10 apiece on average.
Right, and this is where he comes and he finds the coffee and his chicken sandwich all eaten by Tribbles, and then he's like, "How do they get around?" And he says, "Through the air ventilations," and he's like, "Oh my God, the grain."
And then they run back over to K7.
I like how when they even beam over the one time, there's like literally Tribbles on the transporter pad. And the transporter pad brings over the Tribbles too. Kirk was just like energized, like just shaking his head. Like, I'm not going to fight it.
It's just like, it sets the precedent for Star Trek VI and the Klingon blood beaming with them.
Yeah, right, absolutely.
It's foreshadowing.
And here's another great scene where he goes down to open the hatch for the grain, and he opens the top hatch and the Tribbles.
No, the security officer's like, "It's stuck."
Yeah, I know.
And Kirk's like, "I'm a man." He opens up his chest a little bit.
Opens his green tunic a little bit more. Yes.
Like, I can handle this, Mr. Redshirt. I got it.
Right. And, and then the iconic scene of Kirk getting just covered in Tribbles.
Drowning in Tribbles.
Yeah. It's great. As a kid, that was like, "Oh my God,
there's just so many of them. It's so weird."
And it's like, "I wish I was Kirk." And then later you grow up, you find out, "Oh, those are all dead Tribbles."
half dead, half alive. Oh, wait, yeah. Now it's creepy.
That's a little
I'm
dark.
I'm swimming in corpses.
It's a little dark.
They're like, "Okay, someone, poisoned." They're like, "Oh, the grain must have been poisoned since they're dead."
Right.
And we missed a really important part during the bar fight. Cyrano Jones comes in, tries to sell a Tribble to a Klingon, and the Klingon's like, "Get that thing away from me because it makes it."
Yeah, the Tribbles hate.
Freaks out about it.
Yeah. The Tribbles hate the Klingons, and the Klingons hate the Tribbles.
Yes.
The ultimate.
They're the sworn enemy of the Klingon Empire.
Hate relationship.
In one of the Star Trek ongoing comics, which is a canon to the movie series, the JJ series, they find the planet full of Tribbles, and like there's a bomb placed strategically so that all the bombs will cover the entire planet when they explode simultaneously and kill all the Tribbles.
That's so funny.
Because they're the sworn enemy of the Klingon Empire. It's like part of the message that's written into the torpedo for anyone who finds it. It's like,
that's
oh.
hilarious. What a way to do it, take care of the Tribbles.
It's just like tactically just nuke the planet.
Well, I mean, if you're going to do it, you might as well do it properly.
It's not like they're going to fight you back.
No, but you
just eat your grain.
What would you say, Faith?
You just want to be thorough, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The Klingons are thorough on their murder.
I think that's why they wanted the Genesis device.
Probably.
Fired at the Tribble planet.
Yes. That was his goal all along. He wanted.
It makes so much sense now.
Oh, that just totally changes the plot for Star Trek III. It's awesome.
That must have been it. The whole reason why Commander Kludge or whatever his name was, there, Commander Christopher Kludge. Lloyd.
Anyway, so we find out that you don't like Tribbles, and
here we have the big reveal at the end, because what happens is they found out that the grain was poisoned. They don't know how it was poisoned. They want to obviously all those Tribbles died
from eating the
poison grain, which basically I guess it turned into some sort of sludge or something inside their
they couldn't like it basically absorbed all the nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
And so they basically were full, but they starved to death because their bodies weren't being fed by the
eat more. It's kind of like the way rat poison used to work. And they keep eating, but think they were full, and then just they'd end up dying.
And Barriss is taking quite a lot of glee from this, that he's going to blame Kirk, and he's going to be put in front of an Inquisition, and he's going to be front row seat, and he's going to have...
Watch you get demoted. Watch your court-martial.
He's going to have signs made up in the front seat and everything, so he can't wait, so...
And he's trying to accuse Cyrano Jones of poisoning...
Right. They thought that Cyrano Jones was a...
The Klingon agent.
Was a Klingon agent. And they were like, we've looked into his past, and he hasn't really done anything illegal. You know,
and...
other just being
well, an that illegal.
Other than just being an annoyance.
Kirk orders the Tribbles removed, and just as the Tribbles are removed, Darvin comes in, the Tribbles starts... and Kirk's like, oh...
They don't like you, Mr. Darvin.
Let's find out. And then he holds them up to everyone else in the room.
Yeah.
And then the one guy's like, oh, there's no accounting for taste.
Yeah. When he goes to Barriss. He goes to Barriss.
There's no accounting for taste. He holds up the Spock, and Spock's like, oh, these are intelligent animals.
Yes.
They like Vulcans.
And then McCoy scans over Darvin, and Darvin is basically...
But his temperatures...
His heart beats higher.
And then he's like, oh, he's a Klingon.
This man's a Klingon.
And although in this episode, almost every single time they say Klingon, it's Klingon.
Klingon.
Like, with like O-N instead of an I-N.
Remember, he's...
Klingon. Klingon.
He's
Klingon.
He's from the South, so he's going to say a little bit different.
Well, no, like...
just joking.
Almost everyone said a Klingon instead of Klingon.
So Darvin is the double agent who's been surgically altered to look like a human, and he's the one who poisoned the grain, and he even admits to it. He says, just keep those Tribbles away from me. So obviously those Tribbles are so offensive to Klingons that you can
sworn enemy of the Klingon Empire.
But no, that they can just like, they'll be like, I'll tell you anything, just get that thing away from me.
Oh man, when they're trying to get information from Worf.
I know, they should just brought the Tribbles out.
No, like, when Kalar was trying to get Worf to tell him, like, his secrets, like, just bring a Tribble, although...
Yeah,
it would probably... Would it work on her, since she's only half Klingon?
I think they wouldn't like it.
I don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know. We've never seen a Tribble.
There's obviously something about the biology that of
Let's
Klingons...
Let's
find
out.
Yeah.
I say we just test this as often as we need to until we have empirical evidence.
That's right.
It would be great, you know, it's like, if Tribbles are that threatening, it's like, you know, Kalar would just put on her earmuffs so she doesn't have to hear it scream. And she's like, tell me, hold the Tribble in Worf sights, tell me your secret.
But then she can't hear the secret.
Write it down so I can read it.
Write it bigger. I can't see it from here.
Maybe she wouldn't have died. If she bit
what
the
kind
bullet.
Of handwriting is that?
If she bit the bullet and held the Tribble up to Worf, she might not have died.
Well, that's going in a very far alternative universe.
That's a hell of a different perspective there.
That, show me your tribbles.
Show me your tribbles.
Wow. Wow.
That's what the janitor told me.
Somewhere else?
What, Faith?
He said, apparently we warped somewhere else. Can we please leave fluidic space now?
Yeah, right? Exactly. Exactly.
I don't think furry things would work very well in fluidic space.
We're not finding out.
Or they would eat it.
Or they'd eat it.
Yeah, what
would happen? It'd be like a whole bunch of hair gel for the tribbles. Like,
I wonder if they could eat that fluidic space.
Oh, wow. Can you imagine the
infinite tribbles.
Infinite tribbles.
Holy crap.
A whole dimension filled with tribbles.
It's tribbilic space.
That's you in the threat of that species.
That would...
I would feed them with tribbles.
They have to fly through tribbles. It's not like... there's no...
The ship just keeps ramming tribbles.
Tribbilic space. Maybe that'll be in the new series in January of 2017. Tribbilic space.
They got windshield wipers in front of Voyager trying to get through tribbles. They're all stuck to it. Like you're driving through a bunch of bugs. So basically, they're blown in. The Klingons are forced off the ship. And the last little part is that Cyrano Jones is given the task of removing all the tribbles
by hand.
Which is odd.
I don't understand this because they're going to multiply faster than he can pick them up because they said it'll be 17 years.
For Spock, this is very illogical for him to...
It doesn't make any sense because they breed way faster than he can pick them up.
Right.
So he would never be able to finish picking them up.
That was the point.
Yeah, maybe that was the point. But so Cyrano Jones is basically forced to clean up all these tribbles. And instead of going for 20 years on a rehabilitation planet, he's got 17 point whatever, 8 or 9.
To pick them up by hand. Which, that's a long time.
I don't really.
Have fun with his tribbles, buddy.
I think I'd hire some people or get some way to...
Or ask Scotty how to do it, as we'll find out in a few minutes.
Yeah, so I thought that was a little cruel of Kirk and Spock. I mean, but I guess it's a little... just desserts for what all the, you know, but
for the shenanigans, it's not worth 17 years of your life though. But
Cyrano Jones did say like without those tribbles, you wouldn't have found out that the grain was poisoned.
They saved the day,
and they would have been brought the grain would have been brought to the planet Sherman's planet and would have killed people.
But if they planted the grain to grow, would planted grain retain the poison?
I guess it would. I don't know how the poison worked, but
really.
I'm sure.
Yeah, well, they said it was in the genetics of it.
Oh, okay. But then, like, another shipment came, and it was no big deal anyway.
They only had to wait a couple weeks.
Yeah, it wasn't even a big deal. Kirk gets back to the Enterprise, and he's like, what happened to the tribbles?
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, this guy's like, oh, well Bones like, oh, well, Scotty did this. And Scotty's like, well, it was kind of Spock's idea. And then Spock's like, no, you did the engineering. And he's like, someone tell me what happened to the tribbles.
And Scotty beamed the tribbles off to the Klingon ship just before they went to warp.
And that's the best. I wish they would have cut over to the Klingon ship and seen them like pulling out their hair.
Well, what I kind of felt was that, you know, he said, you didn't beam him off into space. And Scotty goes, that'd be
no, that'd be cruel.
But isn't he kind of like giving him the same kind of like...
It's worse. Instead of beaming them out in space...
They weren't
going to
live much longer anyways. At least they went out with a bang.
Yeah.
Literally.
Instead of beaming them out in the space where they just suffocate, they're being into the Klingon ships. Well, they will be cut to pieces with mechleths and batleths.
Yeah, exactly.
And remembered honorably for many generations as Klingons go on about the horrible incident with the tribbles.
The tribble fighting song.
Right.
Right?
But, yes. Well,
he... No,
Oh shit!
But yeah, so that's how the show ends, and they all have a big laugh.
They have the big laugh, and if you've seen the meme where it's like, "And I told them they would be okay," you know, and they're talking about the red shirts, the scene where they're all laughing. This is where that meme comes from.
And also have the famous meme of with Scotty holding up his glass of scotch, you know, saying he goes, You want to know how tough I am as...
I'm the only Richard that didn't die.
Yeah, exactly.
Although he technically did.
Yeah, he did.
He did, and then Nomad brought him back.
Well, so that's pretty much it in a nutshell for the whole episode. Any thoughts that you want to bring out for this or feelings?
I was just, you know, like I said, you know, it's just a super memorable episode, extremely iconic. It includes the Klingons. We all have unique childhood experiences with this episode.
Yeah, definitely.
It's just well done overall. And it spawned probably one of the best episodes of Deep Space Nine ever, Trials and Tribulations.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Which we'll be talking about very shortly on the show.
How about you, Faith? Any takeaways or thoughts on this, guys?
I think my favorite part of the show is the way that that Spock and the Tribbles interacted, because that was so cute. Like, that was the way I always remembered Spock, was just becoming completely enamored with this cute little purring creature.
Right, right.
And he's like, I am of course immune. And everyone's like looking at him as he's petting it.
He's like, obviously he's like, not. Yeah, obviously not. Mm-mm. You're just trying to
and
play
then
it
the
off.
The Tribbles are always purring and so excited to see him more than like even the humans. And it's just like, aww.
Pick me up.
Right? They really like you guys.
So a couple things I was thinking about for this episode was so the guy who played Darvin, who was Arn Darvin, so he shows up again in
Trials and Tribulations.
Trials and Tribulation. Yeah. This is a little side note. So the guy who played that was actually, his name is Charlie Brill, and he has him and his wife were like did an act together. I think they still do, but there's a great. You can find this podcast, This American Life. It's called My Big Break, and it has Charlie Brill in it, the guy who played Darvin. And it's this great story about how him and his wife got booked to play the Ed Sullivan Show, you know, back in the day when that was a big thing. And they had no idea, but while they were doing their practicing their act, somebody came up and was bothering them and asking for money for like a Coke or something, and it was John Lennon. And he was joking around with them, and they couldn't understand who he was because they didn't know who the Beatles were.
Oh yeah.
And then the Beatles did like one number, and then they did their bit, but everybody was just there for the Beatles, and they like nobody remembers them. At like any other at time, they would have been like, yeah, like you know,
they would have been a big deal.
They've been a big deal because the Beatles are, and they just outshined everybody.
Yeah,
it's a great episode. I'm sure you can still download because I only listened to it like maybe, you know, I don't know, a couple months ago. But I was like, is that the same guy? Oh my god! So it's so weird. So yeah, that was a great little side story. The other thing is, I was thinking a lot about invasive species, like. Cyrano Jones takes the Tribbles and brings them onto a place that has no natural predators to it. I was thinking a lot about the zebra mussels. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but they're brought from actually the Black Sea in ballast of ship freighters. And they, when they came through the St. Lawrence Seaway into the Great Lakes area, they let loose the ballast and zebra mussels, and they have no natural predators, and they just grow on everything.
Oh yeah, like the cross contamination of different species, like mongoose or something like that, like a different animal.
The famous one is the rabbits in Australia. That they were brought. Yeah. They brought rabbits to Australia for food. The rabbits got loose and they just bred like crazy. And I actually think that David Gerrold, when he wrote this, was actually kind of referencing that as a reference point of the rabbits being introduced to Australia. But it
makes sense with all these little fuzzy creatures, yeah.
Yeah, just breeding and breeding without any
nonstop.
Nonstop.
Any restraint,
yeah. So I thought that was interesting too. So yeah, I think that was kind of the undertone of that, is introducing, you know, species to a habitat that has no checks and balances to it or whatever, and they just kind of go nuts. The other thing is, the idea is I kind of thought about the nationality kind of thing, because I mean, here we had the 1960s. I mean, we're in full Cold War swing, and they have Chekhov in there, and he's talking about his Russian heritage, and he's talking about everything's Russian.
Russians invented everything, it's
right?
Like, wow!
And obviously, it's a bit of a joke, tongue-in-cheek, stupid joke. But I mean, it's obviously to show you that he's Russian, and like someday we'll get along. But I also is the idea that they have their enemies, their sworn enemies, the Klingons. But,
who metaphorically represent the Russians.
Right. They represent them, but then maybe that someday we will get along with them, which which we do in over time. But it was just, yeah. It was a really, I thought that was like a, that was like an undertone that maybe from the episode that maybe it wasn't like pronounced, but I think it was definitely, because the show, because the whole episode is just funny, period. I mean, it's fun to watch. I watched the whole thing, and I just had a lot of smiles during watching it. So
it just doesn't get old. I mean, I don't know how many times I've seen it in my life, and like it's still a great episode every time I watch it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's great. I love it too. Yeah. So this was really a lot of fun to see again and see the Tribbles. The other thing is, I was just telling off before we started, was the Tribbles were inspired by a keychain.
Oh yeah, those little fluffy like the
right furry fluffy keychain.
I've seen some like mic like covers that look like Tribbles that you stick them over the mic. They're all furry and fuzzy over and they look like
yeah
on your mic.
So it was they came for keychains. This lady named Holly Sherman, and that's how they got the name Sherman Planet. It was named after her. Because of her keychain. So I just thought that was kind of a funny thing. And then how they were the person who was paid $350 to
make
500 Tribbles. $350.
Oh, man.
They couldn't even pay her $500 bucks to pay her a buck a Tribble. They paid her less than a buck a Tribble.
Like, oh, man.
Yeah, yeah. Anyways, I mean, this is one of those episodes that there's tons of trivia attached to it because it's just an iconic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that, you know, everyone loves the Tribbles.
And they have these are the Voyages books that are like, you know, like 300-400 like pages a piece, and they go all throughout the original series. I still need to read those. I've got them. I just haven't taken the time to read them all the way through. But there is what I've read of them so far that's really interesting. I haven't gotten to this episode since it's in the second book. I'm still in the first book. But it's a
got a good very, reading.
Yeah.
Got a good reading.
Let me see if I can get them an audiobook. I'm better at listening to things.
It's a lot of fun. And basically we have the Tribbles that are self-reproducing. And I think they are the winners.
You are the most beautiful woman in the galaxy. You don't know how long I've wanted to tell you that.
But you're afraid.
Yes.
Of me?
Of us, of what we might become. Then you're inviting me in.
I'm not sending you away.
That's more than I expected.
Is it as much as you hoped?
To hope is to recognize the possibility. I had only dreams.
Dreams can be dangerous.
Not these dreams. I dream of a galaxy where your eyes are the stars. And the universe worships the night.
Careful. Putting me on a pedestal so high you may not be able to reach me.
Then I'll learn how to fly. You are the heart in my day. And the soul in my night.
We lost two more relays. I can't!
Shut up, kid.
Now, unlike Riker and all the smooth talking that you hear in our intro, Tribbles don't deal with any of that.
Mm-mm. They cut out the middleman.
And they cut out the opposite sex.
They cut it all out. As long as they have a mouthful of grain or something, they're good to go.
They're good to go, as long as it's not poison grain.
They're like me every night, making it with myself.
after getting the Ultra Woman email?
That never came.
Now, we got an Ultra Woman email. We just haven't got a second one from Ultra Woman.
Oh, I know. I know.
Ultra Woman, we love you. You can write us back again.
Yeah, so Tribbles. Tribbles are prolifically asexual. Not even asexual. What would you call them? They produce on themselves. Unisexual?
Isn't that asexual? Just it replicates self-replicating?
I guess so. I thought asexual meant that you weren't interested in sex at all.
No, that's people who've adopted the term asexual, which is that doesn't even make any sense because the actual term asexual just means it's self-replicating.
Okay.
Asexual people are people who are not interested in sex, but asexual doesn't mean the same thing in that context.
Gotcha. Well, yeah. So they are probably you're born the luckiest person in the world. You're just born a Tribble. You don't have to worry about the dating scene. You don't have to worry about dinners in a movie. You don't have to worry about.
You just got to worry about dinner.
First, second, or third base.
Just.
Yeah, you just got to worry about dinner. That's all you got to worry about.
Yep. Once your tummy's full, you're ready to pop out another Tribble.
Yep.
Or 10.
Or 10. or whatever you want. But yeah, so yeah, I think Tribbles have probably a nice simplistic lifestyle.
Yes,
I do have a lot of questions of how they get around and how they sense move. Anything.
What, they're just like a ball of fur,
just a ball of flesh with a mouth.
And I guess
some kind of orifice,
a cloaca to you know, because cloacas are nice, multi-purpose orifices. Yeah. Actually, they could, you know, they might be able to eat through their cloaca. They might be able to, you know, eject feces through their cloaca and birth their litter of tribbles.
They shit through their mouth and they and they eat there. You don't want
to learn on our show.
Yeah, you don't want to kiss that.
The magic of cloacas, the multi-purpose orifice.
Oh, man.
And Uhura was cuddling with it.
I know.
Mm. Fan dance that away.
Oh, it went there.
Spock was cuddling with it, too. Spock. And we know Spock and Uhura like to do things together sometimes.
I was actually...
In alternate realities.
I was actually kind of, like, surprised at Kirk's tolerance of the Tribbles for so long. Like, they were obviously getting out of hand. And he just kept on kind of, like, just, like...
It wasn't the last straw until they were his sandwich. They ate his sandwich and his coffee.
Well, I would agree.
You know, it's like, I draw the line. Yeah, they sit in my chair.
Coffee,
okay.
I'm done.
Yeah, I mean, you're like, I'm here to eat my lunch and drink my coffee. I've had a long day dealing with this asshole Barriss. And then you got Tribbles.
And then, you know, it's like, they can sit in my chair, fine. They can sit on the console on the bridge, fine. As soon as they eat my coffee and my sandwich, it's war.
Right, right. Yeah, so I don't know. I thought he had a lot of patience for that, which I was very surprised.
But he was also very jovial in this episode. All his anger he took out on the minister.
His banter with Barriss is so great. I mean, it's really quite funny to see him go on and on, you know, beating up Barriss. Constantly, and you kind of like it too the whole time.
Oh, it's great!
You don't feel bad for him at one bit. Yeah, you know, I love that whole part. You know, just his little shots he gave him.
He's so fun to hate, and even more fun to hate through William Shatner.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. I thought that was probably half the fun of it as well. Just seeing the actors kind of bounce off each other and give each other a little. I mean, it's obviously written, but
Scotty running through the halls with giant fists, the armfuls of Tribbles.
They're in the replicators and the food processors. No, he goes, they're in the machinery and the food processors. Oh, my God, it was so great. I love it. Yeah, good stuff.
They've gotten into the dilithium.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so for our next episode, we will be talking about the animated series, More Tribbles, More Trouble.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
More Trouble, as they always do seem to be.
Yes.
That's what they're good at.
And we'll touch on another animated Star Trek series.
That'll be our second animated episode after Agmar and Me. Woo!
I love Agmar and Me. Still love that episode.
Oh, yeah, we still have to do two more parts on that one.
Oh, man. Things that happen. Oh, yeah, so, look out for that.
Well, all our music is provided by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com and on Twitter at warp11. You can find us online at syntholics.com. You can email us at syntholics@yahoo.com. You can find us on Twitter at SynthaholicDuo. You can find me on Twitter at David_J_Duncan.
You can find me at Blackbird2004.
And you can find me at Faith Hertzberg.
And please go onto iTunes, rate and review us, give us lots of stars, and make us awesome.
Make the night light up.
Yes, with your star review. And tell a friend.
Or two.
Or two, or many, or tell all your friends.
Your coworkers.
Take a t-shirt and put a marker to it and write Synthaholics and explain to everybody what that means.
When they ask you what that means, it'll be a great conversation piece.
Yes. If you have a little extra spare change, go to the Patreon page. You can check it out there, and hopefully you can give us a little extra dough to keep the wheels turning here at Synthaholics.
Help see us at cons.
Keep the booze flowing.
Booze. Gotta have booze. Gotta go to cons. Trying to meet more of you guys so we can just have a good, happy family. Also, check out the Facebook page, facebook.com/group/synthaholics.
Yeah, we're always having fun on there.
Join the discussion, post memes, talk about Star Trek, talk about the episodes, leave us comments, anything. Have fun.
Write us an email.
Yes, at synthaholics@yahoo.com. And we will read it on the air and have fun answering it for you.
Absolutely. Awesome.
Well, live long and prosper, guys. Thank you for listening. You're the best drinking friend I ever had. So we should probably test for testes.
I said I thought that was more of a guy problem.
Sometimes.
It depends.
Unless you get them cut off. Then you don't have any problems.
Sometimes people like to sew them on.
Sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't.
Can you be louder, Faith?
Can you be louder? Jeez.
God, I still smell like silicone.
That's a good smell.
Wake up and smell the silicone.
It's horrible. It's like a weird combination of like
I hate the smell of silicone.
Sex shop and paint.